good to have Brother Bo here with us on Sunday, and I got to have some fellowship with him and his wife for a little while afterwards. Enjoyed that, and always enjoy any time he's ever got to come and visit us. And let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to Scripture tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're asking, Lord, for you to be with us, Father, now at this point of the service, Lord, to bring to us, Lord, the teaching of the word, Father. I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will direct us, Father. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you will, Lord, refresh the people tonight, dear God. Lord, that they may be refreshed from the labors of their week, Lord, that they've been through, Lord. And I pray, Father, we give you all glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We want to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Or not ye my work? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me as this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister or a wife, or as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, Cephas, or I only and Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, that is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer in all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait on the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying vain, void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is it unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if I against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. You may be seated. I'm going to stop there at verse 18. We'll say a few things concerning what Paul said here, and then take up the rest of the chapter. It is, Paul refers here, what he's referring to is actually the ministry, and he's referring to actually, even though he doesn't say tithing by name here, that's what Paul's talking about, the ministry living by the tithing of the people. And he points out, which was wrote in Deuteronomy under the Levitical law, that as God was laying out how that the Levites, they, if you remember, when each was been given a portion in the land, the Levites were not given inheritance. And that was because they were to take care of the tabernacle, and they were the service of the tabernacle. And the people were to give a tenth of everything to actually provide and take care of the Levites. Because the Levites didn't have any land. They didn't have raise any seed and all these things and herds and so forth. Their duties was to take care of the temple of God. And God's provided way to take care of them, as he established in the Levitical law, was through tithing, which was a tenth part. And if you remember, even Abraham, when he was returning from the battle, he gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek. Paul mentions that also in the New Testament, and because in that he credits that Levi was credited for giving tithe while he was yet in the loins of Abraham, when Abraham gave tithing to Melchizedek. And, Paul, speaking in the book of Timothy, he mentions again about how the under the, as God was explaining this in the Levitical law, he says, he told them, don't muzzle the ox as he treads out the corn. In other words, he's treading out the corn. Don't stop, don't hinder him from partaking and eating of the corn while he's treading it out. And this then is referred to by Paul in talking how the ministry lives of the things of the people. And as Paul said, you know, if we sow unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? In other words, you know, your carnal things of the world that are used to take care of our needs. And, and Paul also says in the book of Timothy that the labor is worthy of his reward. In the book of Numbers, Moses is instructed by God to lay out in the Levitical law how that the children of Israel are to give to the Levites a tenth of everything for their service and the service of the tabernacle. And then there's also mentioned that the Levites are to take the tenth of the seed or the grain that was given to them. They were to take a tenth of that and to offer it as a heave offering unto the Lord. So there was actually a tenth part of the tithe. And Brother Branham mentions this in the message about the tithe of tithe. And what the tithe of tithe is again to the pastor then takes what he receives of the tithing, and then he takes a tenth part of that tithing and puts it back to be able to take care of the ministry that comes through. Because remember, there's a fivefold ministry. And so God has a way also to take care of the evangelist. And, in the book of Malachi, God speaks and says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me? For what But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, in tithe and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herein, saith the Lord of hosts, that if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Lord, from the tenth that you give, and then and your offerings, then the Lord in turn turns around and blesses you. Now, there's people that would hold to their thought on this being that if they give their tithing and give their offering, their monies, that the Lord would just turn around and bless them with increased more money. But that's not exactly what the Lord said. You know, what he is saying, you know, the blessings that the Lord blesses you with, I'm not saying the Lord doesn't bless you with money and things to, for your needs and things like that, but the Lord blesses you spiritually. And that's what Paul was talking about here in 1 Corinthians. He says, we sow into you spiritual things. So the Lord blesses you spiritually. And, you know, that Brother Branham, something I wanted to point out because there's, you know, there's many people that's got opinions about whether the preachers should work as well as pastor and all this. And there's not anything against a pastor holding down a job besides pastoring the church. But a lot of people, or there's some people that through my time and experience, I've seen to where they actually condemn a pastor who doesn't hold down a worldly job as well as pastoring a church. And they will actually say that, well, he's worse than a heathen. He won't work and provide for his family. And, you know, but when they're saying that, it just shows just how shallow they are in the teachings of the scripture. And, you know, but what they hinge on is because they say, well, Brother Branham worked and pastored. And, you know, and so, and Brother Branham does say that he did. But the thing I want to point out is that just looking back in the history of Brother Branham's life, in early of 1933, the Missionary Baptist Church, where Brother Branham was the associate pastor under Dr. Davis, it burned to the ground in early in 1933. And after it burned to the ground, Dr. Davis returned to Texas from where he was from and left the congregation in the hands of Brother Branham. And then around about the summer of 1933 is when Brother Branham laid the cornerstone of the tabernacle there in Jeffersonville and then was pastoring the church. And Brother Branham makes mention that he said that he didn't receive a penny of salary from the church, that he actually worked a public job. And he says, I could work, so why not work and pastor? But he says, but that's not the standard for every pastor. A minister of the gospel can't go out and work and pray and then come into his church. That sounds like what Brother Branham contradicting himself. But the thing you got to realize is, what was the time era that Brother Branham was pastoring? So Brother Branham was pastoring Brother Branham says in one place he pastored for about 12 years. And he started pastoring in 1933. Well, when you bring this into perspective, you realize the Great Depression started in 1929 and lasted until later on in 1938. And actually, even then, unemployment was really high. And things really didn't begin to pick up in employment into the beginning of World War II. And and then you realize that Brother Branham, when he built the tabernacle, he wasn't even married yet. But he had met Hope, who became his wife. And Brother Branham says that when he met Hope, he said her father had worked for the railroad, some job for the railroad, and was bringing home around $500 a month. And
that he said here he was working for 20 cents an hour. Well, if you figure that out, and I'm not saying, I don't know how many hours a week Brother Branham would have worked, but let's just say on average, if he worked 40 hours a week, that'd have been $8 a week, you know. So, you know, and then you realize the people of his congregation, it was during the Great Depression, and, you know, and so there wasn't a lot of work. So you can imagine there wasn't a whole lot of tithing in that that would even come in. And Brother Branham even talks about how that he, when he built the tabernacle and that, that he never took up an offering to pay for it, but Brother Branham tried his best to work and pay for it himself. And, you know, and so people take different things like this that Brother Branham said, and they take a lot of things out of context without realizing the time and what was going on during those times. You know, they say, I've heard one brother came by to visit here, and he really had a thing about preachers taking money. And so he said, well, you know, Brother Branham lived on $100 a week. And Brother Branham actually says that, and says that he received a salary about $100 a week, and he said when he would go away, he would come back and in a month, and he would get $400, and that, and he was talking about what his expense, but he also said during that exact same time that his expenses were $100 a day. So that math really doesn't add up. So, you know, there was more money coming in to go toward these different expenses other than Brother Branham's just own personal expenses. And, of course, people who make these statements, there's two things I want to say about it. One, they're not looking at the years that Brother Branham was talking about that he was living on $100 a week. And two, they are not living on $100 a week now, these people who are making this statement. You know, they say, well, Brother Branham lived on $100 a week. And I want to ask, are you? How much a week does it take you? You know, you know, you can't go by things like that and bring, you know, those things from that time era all the way up into 2023 and think a man could live on $100 a week, you know. People who are on disability and things have more than $100 a week, you know. But Brother Branham, you realize, Brother Branham mentions about during the time when he was pastoring the church, he said there was times where they would make a pot of beans and everybody would come together to eat because there was no food. And so, you know, and there was a sister in the church before he built the building that said something to him about, I'll take allowances from my children's, what I feed them, if you'll build a church. And you realize, you know, it was a poor time. And it was a time, you know, where, you know, you think about it, if Brother Branham was making approximately around $8 a week, then what were the people, and some of them were just women in his congregation, what in the world did they have coming in a week? You know, he talks about Hattie Wright and the little bit that she had, you know, and the people were poor. And so, you know, it was, well, Brother Bo was talking to me, you know, and about his group. And, you know, and Brother Bo, he worked for years for Social Security. And he started working for Social Security when he was about 18 years old. And he retired, well, it's been actually several years ago now that he retired from there because he had so many years in and that he was able to draw a pension from him. But even after he retired from there, Brother Bo went to work for one agency, and now I think he works for a different agency in that. And, you know, and he was talking to Brother David and I on Sunday, you know, and I asked him because, you know, Brother Bo's getting ready to turn 70 years old. And I asked him, when are you going to retire again? And I realize there's some people that they think, well, what am I going to do if I retire? I just can't sit still. Okay. You know, but I asked him, I said, when are you going to retire again? And he said, well, He said he really couldn't. You know, he said it would really change the way he'd live. But of course, what he said was, he said, we like to go out to eat, and he says, and you know, if I retired and was just living off of that, we probably couldn't afford maybe to go out to eat as much as we'd like to. And he said, you know, now he says, if I want to buy some new clothes, I just buy my new clothes, you know. And I understand all that. And I will say this, being here the 25 years that I've been here, God has provided my needs. There has been some close and tight times. And, you know, and there were tight times during any given time during each year. And, you know, and since I've been here 25 years, y'all know cost of living's went up. And so I didn't have, when I came here, I didn't really have a lot of expenses. I didn't own my own home, so I didn't have a house note. And, you know, I had a few bills and things like that. But, you know, there wasn't a lot. And, you know, now, of course, I have a home in which I've been in for 20 years. We just, the beginning of this month, last week, was our 20th anniversary being in our new home. And so, you know, there's expenses. And so, brother, of course, now, and then, you know, the thing is, I've seen where people want to take and use their tithing any way they want to use it. I know that there was a when I used to go over to West Virginia and visit my aunt, there was a couple in the church over there. Now, there weren't very many people that really, I'll tell you something, some of the denominations, they're not really good tithe payers. I can tell you, amongst the Message people, it doesn't really seem to even compare. I think the Message people are some of the only people, Christian people, that actually believe in giving a tenth. And so, but, you know, there was, over the years that my uncle pastored there, why there was actually several different churches that he had pastored, two or three different churches. And during those times, he worked in the coal mines. And, you know, and so there, from what I understand, the knowledge that I gather from them, there actually wasn't a whole lot that came in. The people would give a little more offerings than they did tithing, but there were people that that thinks, well, you know what I'll do? For my tithing, I'll go buy some paper towels and toilet paper and stock up the church. That's not what the tithing's for. You know, well, for my tithing, I'll buy something for the church. If you want to buy something for the church, according to what Brother Branham teaches, then reach in your own pocket. Brother Branham taught, when I was reading today, Brother Branham said, look, the tithing belongs to the Lord. It's his money. It's not your money. He said, if you want to give the widow woman something, don't give her your tithing, because the tithing goes to the ministry. It belongs to the Lord. He says, if you want to give the widow woman something, then reach over in your own pocket and give her. Don't reach into God's pocket. And Brother Branham says, you know, that he gave an example. He said, if you sent me downtown to get a loaf of bread and you gave me 25 cents to get a loaf of bread and I met somebody on the street that wanted something else and I give him the 25 cents, I give them your money. If they ask me for something, let me give it over here in this pocket and give my money, but this is your money. And the tenth of it is the Lord's, and the Levite and the priest could live by the tenth. The tenth is to be a tithing that's to be brought in the storehouse with the promise of God, which we read that in Malachi, and the promise of God to bless it and a proof. If you don't believe it, come and prove me and see if I'll do it. The tithing goes into the church for the pastor and so forth like that to live on. And because Brother Branham was asked this question, he was asked the question, would it be wrong to use tithes for the building fund? And so Brother Branham says, I know this is kind of a touchy thing here. He says, but no, tithing cannot be used for the building fund. And he says, you know, in the Old Testament, even they had a fund for the repairs of the building and so forth. And he says, and so there's a separate fund for that. And he said, and that was set up scripturally. And he says, there's a separate fund for taking care of the repairs and the upkeep of the building and all that. It doesn't come out of the tithing. And, you know, I've seen where there was brothers that maybe the pastor says, we need such and such for the church. And the brother says, well, you know, we've gave enough. If you want to get that for the church, you get it out of the tithing. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not where it's supposed to come from. I've known pastors. I knew a pastor who actually, I mean, this was on his own. He give, you know, he only took so much tithing, and he turned around and poured some of the tithing back in to pay for the church building, to pay off the building, and they paid it off. That was on him. That was his choice, whatever, but that was not what it was intended for. And, you know, and for... pastor had needed some equipment. They needed some different equipment than that for the church. And some of the brothers told him, well, use out of the tithing for that. We've given enough. You know, that's wrong. And that's not according to the scripture. And that's not what Brother Branham taught. And, you know, if the pastor wants to get something, and, you know, out of his money and for the church, that's fine. You know, that's fine. But you can't turn around and say, well, we'll depend on the tithing for that. The tithing don't go to pay for the utility bills and the church note and all these things. That's not what it's for. Those things is a separate fund. That's the general funds of the church. That's your offerings. And offerings were set up. And you realize this. When God was laying out about tithe and offerings, he laid down an exact portion for the tithing, said it, let it be a tenth. But for the offerings, and actually it even says it in one portion of the scripture, calls it a free will offering. For the offerings, God didn't lay down a set amount. That a person gives from their heart, whatever that they can, and, you know, and keeping in mind that, you know, that, you know, I've heard people say, well, I'll put a dollar in the plate. A dollar ain't going to do it. A dollar ain't going to keep the church running. A dollar wouldn't pay for your electricity. It ain't going to pay for the church's electricity. You know, and so, you know, and I'm not meaning to sound crass or bad about this. But, you know, those are things, you know, I believe we should keep in mind as we're giving our offerings for the church, realizing that this is your church. You know, it ain't my church. This isn't my building. This belongs to the people. And so this is for you to be able to come and have a place to be able to worship God and hear the word of God. And, you know, and God has helped through your giving to provide a place like this for you, which I think we've got a really nice building. And, you know, and I know we've had to do some repairs over the years since I've been here and there's been a few remodeling changes and things like that to make it better for the people. And, you know, and of course, you know, we've got central air and we've got heat. And, you know, and we just recently placed one of the units, didn't we? And one of the units, if you all recall, we got here one Thursday night, and the unit had went on the blink, and the building had heated up to so hot a temperatures you couldn't stand to be in here. Because it had ran on heat. We don't even know how long it actually ran when it went bad and started running on heat. And Brother David, you know, being a heat and air man, he takes care of the units and takes care of the the servicing of them and the maintenance of them and that, and he knew how old they were and how long we've had them and that, and that it was time that we were going to have to start replacing. So we've replaced one, and then we are eventually going to have to replace the other one as well. But those things, according to what the prophet has taught us in the scripture, those things come out of the offerings. And, you know, I know that there has been churches that were looking to build a building. And so what they would do is they would do special things to try to bring in money to go toward what they called a building fund, which was to build a new building. And that was separate from the church's actually monthly expenses. And we actually had took up some special offerings like that for a while because of some needs and repairs that were needed on the church. And so we did that for a while and until we got those things taken care of. And because it's things that is not in the normal expenses month to month upkeep, and so you know, we did that so that we could have money to try to do these things and not have to borrow more money. Brother Branham speaks about, you know, of course, as I was saying, some people that I give you examples try to take and they want to use the tithing for other things. And there was a brother that came to Brother Branham one time when he was visiting somewhere, and this brother tried to give Brother Branham a large sum of money in an envelope, and Brother Branham wouldn't take it. And the brother said, "You got to take it. It's my tithing." And during that time, Brother Branham was evangelizing. He wasn't pastoring, and so he was out actually evangelizing, visiting somewhere, and this man came to him and said, "Oh, it's my tithing." And Brother Branham says, if it's your tithing, then it's to go to your church. Because that's according to Scripture, it goes into the storehouse. He says, where you're getting your getting fed at. He says, of course, you know where you're getting fed at. And so, you know, the people say, well, I'll just give my tithe to this missionary, and I'll give it to this one, and I'll send it here, and I'll send it there, and I'll send it to missions, and I'll send it to the Voice of God, and I'm telling you, those things are not scriptural. According to the scripture and according to what the prophet teaches, you're supposed to give it at your local church where you're getting fed at. Now, for taking care of the evangelists and the other ministers and all that, friends, look, that will come out of there, but that is the pastor giving his tenth from the tithing, so a tithing or a tenth of the tithing. And so, you know, I don't take every penny that comes in here of the tithing. When I came here, there wasn't a whole lot of tithing when I first came here, and it was taking pretty much everything that came in just to live by. Now it's a little different, and I'm able to help take care of the ministers that come through here. And you know, there's been times where out of my own I have sent money to the missions or different ministers in the missions to help them out or take care of a need that they had. Here just a few months ago, a brother from the Philippines contacted me, and he needed his a new registration on his van, and he also needed some mechanical repairs on it, and they were getting ready to go, and there was people going with him, and he was taking them to a some type of a convention or a meeting, and they had to get this van fixed in order to go. And he needed the registration renewed on it and that, you know. And so he asked me if I could help him. He told me how much he needed. And so I sent him the money. And I never said a word to y'all here. I didn't come to you and say, hey, can you give some money for this brother or whatever. I just sent some. And so to help the brother out. And that particular brother, I've helped him out a few different times. And, you know, and then... when Brother O.L. passed away, there was we took up an offering from here, and we sent money, actually before he passed away, while he was in the hospital, to take care of those, to help go toward taking care of those expenses. And so we took up a special love offering to help. But I also gave money to go along with that love offering of my own, and to so that it would be a little more increased amount that was actually being sent over there. And so, but, Brother Branham says your first duty is to your church. First duty is there to your church, to support your church. And so, and of course, Brother Branham, when he was asked about, people actually having a say in the church as far as a vote and so on, and Brother Branham says, well, as long as you've come here and support it with your tithe, your offerings, and your presence, then you have a vote. And so, we have at times in the past when we've had different voting on different things and things like that, we, of course, said, to be able to vote, this is a stipulation, and so there is, and you think and you wonder why Brother Brennan would say that. Well, what you've got to know is you got to know how some things have been in different areas and different churches. And friends, look, just like politics in the world has done, there would be people that would bring in people to the church just to try to get a vote swayed the way they wanted it to go. And so that's why Brother Branham said you had to come and be supporting the church and your tithe, your offerings, and your presence. So you just can't go out and bring in some people to cast a vote that's got nothing to do with it. And so, and you think, would that ever happen? Friends, there's all kinds of things like that has happened, because people are people. And not all people who claim to be Christians actually are good Christians. And actually, my mom has told me, she remembers growing up and how things were in the denomination that she was in. And, the people, some of them, if they didn't like some of the things the pastor was doing and how things were being handled, they said, we'll starve him out. And so what they do is they just stop giving and say, we'll starve him out. And mom said these were the very people that called themselves the pillars of the church. And it was what it was. It was people who they wanted control of the church. And so, you realize the people like that, they were never, ever going to actually accept true headship. And that, and believe it or not, In the way things were, especially in areas that I was familiar with and came from in that, there was a lot that went on, things like that. And, but the church, God has it set up. He's got a provided way, and there's got to be leadership. God's got to have a head. He's got to have someone to lead and guide the church. And, of course, that doesn't mean that he's a dictator and runs roughshod over the people and everything's just done that way. No, there are things that are brought up for vote, the people, but there are things that, and maybe I regress a little, but there are things that go on in the church and that people think everything should be voted on. Not everything requires a vote. If the water heater goes out, we don't have to have a church vote on whether to buy a new water heater or not. Water heater goes out, it's got to be replaced. And according to what the prophet taught us, what happens is, then they go to the treasury and say, do we have the money to replace it? Yes. All right, then let's replace it. It doesn't have to, everything doesn't have to go for a vote before the people. Now, we've brought a lot of things to a vote here before the people. And so, getting back to what I was
on here, Brother Branham says tithing was God's provided way to take care of the ministry. And I remember a church that I knew years ago that I went to back before when I was young in the ministry, and I would visit them from time to time. They'd have me come in and to preach in that. And the pastor worked for, I believe it was one of the big automobile industries that he worked for. And he worked a full-time job, with this big automobile industry and pastored the church. Well, the church that I was going to was very small. Actually, it was mainly just his family. And his family was not as big as what my family is. And so it was, there wasn't enough people there to be able to support the brother, you know. And so, but he had the church there for years until he passed away. There is nothing that says, brother, I mean, Paul actually says in here, what I read to, he says, have not we power to forbear working? So we know Paul did actually, he was a tent maker. So he did some tent making. But that wasn't necessarily Paul's initial occupation. Paul did a lot of things, and even as he mentioned here, because he didn't want the people to say that to take away from what he was doing spiritually, from what he was accomplishing spiritually. And you realize with Brother Branham, you know, there was countless times Brother Branham was offered, given big checks, handed big checks, and would turn them down because what it was, there was people, there were strings that went with those things, you know, and that's what Paul is actually referring to keep from being any strings attached to anything, to where it could take away the glory that actually belonged to the Lord. And there are people that try to, they think, well, because they give a lot of tithe and offerings or whatever, or because they should have more say than somebody else in the church. Well, it was never established by Brother Branham that it's according to how much you gave in your tithe and offerings, whether you got a vote in the church or not. It had nothing to do with that. It didn't matter what your amount of your tithe and offerings were, you know, as long as you were supporting the church, you know, because, and so, if a person has more, can give more, whatever, then you know what? More is required of them from the Lord, but that doesn't mean they get more say or have more control in the church. There's a lot of people that think, because we do some voting in church and things like that, they think a church is a democracy. It's not a democracy. God actually has a headship and a leadership, you know, that he speaks through and gives directions through for the church. And the pastor doesn't receive what he's supposed to preach from the people. He's supposed to receive it from God. And Brother Branham, I did read today, Brother Branham was talking about that some man, he was out on the street, and some man came up to him and asked him for some money. And it was just somebody begging money on the street. And Brother Branham asked him, said, what do you want the money for? He says, because I want to go buy more to drink. And Brother Branham says, no. He says, look, the money I have, it comes from the people. It's from tithing and so on. He says, I can't give you that to go buy a drink with. He says, I'll answer to God for it. He said, now, if you want something to eat, I'll take you and get you something to eat. You know, and and then Brother Ram says that, you know, what we do with what God gives us, we will answer for it. You know, and so
a pastor, the tithing that he receives from the people, and that, you know, of course, there's a lot of people that think, well, it's my money. You know, I'm giving my money for the preacher. I ought to have a say on how he spends the money. It doesn't work that way. You know, if you worked for Ford Motor Company, does the CEO of Ford Motor Company tell you how to spend what the money you receive? You know, and there's a lot of people that's got a lot of ideology about preachers, you know, and what they should have and shouldn't have. And, you know, and there's people that got ideology, well, you know, a preacher, he should be living poor, you know. I don't know, you know, I can tell you this. Those people just have a problem. There are people who actually have a problem with their money, you know. And that's the way they look at it. It's their money. They don't realize it was God that gave them the job. It's God that provides them their living. It's God that gives them that. And in return, God asks for a tenth portion of it to be dedicated to him. And as Brother M taught us, that tenth portion is not you. It's not actually you giving a tenth of your money. Brother M said, that's God's money. A tenth belongs to him. So, you know, so let's go on in this chapter here and see what time it is. Let's go on to verse 19. And I'm not going to be too much longer here tonight on these verses. But you realize, you know, I realize that I'm bringing these things and you say, well, we all know about tithing. Well, the thing is to show you where these things are in the scriptures. And you realize that maybe some of you've got years in with serving the Lord. And so, you know, you knew all about everything really that I'm bringing out tonight. You knew the scriptures and so on that I've referred to and the teaching on tithing. But that doesn't mean that everybody does. And so as the Lord laid on my heart to go through the book of Corinthians and to take it through chapter by chapter, and just because there's a lot of doctrine that's laid down in here. And, you know, and so I, as I'm led by the Lord, I bring out things that are pertaining to, you know, to tell you why was Paul saying these things? You know, what was these things about? And, you know, what Paul is bringing here, actually, he was bringing teaching to the church in Corinth about how the ministry was to be taken care of, you know. And like I said, many of these things I know these things, but, you know, we've got to go through them and lay these things. And maybe, you know, maybe children, and I think about when, like my children, and I know most of them all have families now and that, and as they were raised in our house, why, they were taught about tithing and offerings, and they were taught about giving, and but perhaps, you know, they were taught, but maybe not that I sat down and actually said, okay, this is this in this scripture, and this is there in this scripture, and this is according to the Levitical law, and showed it all out like that. And so, you know, these are things that we're just wanting to show where it came from. But now let's look in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. And to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Now, what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about those under the law, those who are not under the law. He was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles were not under the Mosaic law. And so Paul was, and you realize, and this is something that we dealt with in the earlier chapters, where there was actually the Jews that were trying to bring the Gentiles under the Mosaic law. And that was when we talked about circumcision. And they were trying to bring them under the Mosaic law. All of you got to be circumcised. And so Paul had to bring out teachings on this and show what that was pointing toward. And we went through all that, that was actually a shadow and type of actually a foreshadowing of the coming of the Holy Ghost that was going to circumcise the hearts and ears of the people. And so Paul is laying this out that for the Jews, I was Jews under the law. I was under the law. Those without the law, I was without the law. In verse 22, he says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And, you know, and so as a minister, I can say that as Paul was saying, I made all things to all men. And, you know, a minister should always be humble. Never lift himself up to be, well, he's on above a plane of the people. You know, I know that Brother Benham makes mention about that you can never rise any higher than your pastor. But Brother Branham is talking about in the gospel, you know, in the revelation and things, that God's got a way to bring the revelation to the people, and it's through the ministry. And so the ministry then, you know, we're not better than you. We're not a better person than you. You know, there's a lot of folks that actually, they're the ones actually that lift the preachers up and make them like they're superhuman, you know, and don't realize the humanity, and even the humanity of the prophet. The prophet was human, and as a human, he dealt with things in his flesh just like anybody else. He dealt with weakness. He dealt with nervousness. He dealt with, you know, a multitude of different things. You know, he wasn't exempt from them. He wasn't exempt from attacks by the devil because he was a preacher. You know, we're just as human as you are. The difference is that there's a gift that God places on the man's life to actually to be able to yield and not just be a good speaker, but you know, but to actually be able to yield to the Lord, that the Lord could come and speak through the man. And you know, and so you know, I've seen people try, think, well, I'm going to try to be a preacher. I think I got a call, I'll be a preacher. You know, if you're not called, you ain't going to make it. Because, you know, I can tell you this, I've been preaching for many, many years. And I'll tell you, friends, there's still times I get nervous. And because I realize the importance of what I'm doing. And I realize the responsibility of what I'm doing. And there's times that the Lord will give me things, but he only gives it to me to a certain degree, and then he says, go ahead and go preach this. And so I look at what I've got, and I think, I don't feel like I got enough. I think I need more than what I got here. I don't know what we're going to do when we get up there, but we just got to follow the Holy Spirit and say what the Holy Spirit has to say. But, you know, Paul says, I become weak to those who are weak, to be able to help them. In other words, friends, look, there are like new Christians that come in. And as I pointed out, you realize that there are people that come in that they've never went to church before a day in their life. They don't know anything about church. They don't know nothing about going to church. They don't know anything about any of those things. And people want to bring them into a thing where they tell them, hey, well, hold on now. We've got a set of rules you got to follow. You got to dress a certain way, and you got to do a certain thing. And look, yes, I do believe in holiness, and I do believe in right dress and things like that. But, you know, I also believe in having grace and patience for people, you know. You know, you don't just have somebody come visit the church and you look at them and size them up and think, well, I'm just going to, you know, maybe they got cut hair and they're wearing pants on. Oh, I'm just going to blast all over this stuff. That ain't the message God laid on my heart. You know, and you've got to let the Holy Spirit deal with their hearts and have grace. Because I tell you, friends, you realize, think about this. There are some of you, I don't know what some of your background and what you came from. Some of you I do. And I know some of you did come from a background of going to church and different things like that. Some of you came from being raised in the message, like Brother Phil and so on, and some of the other young people here and that. You know, you're raised in the message and things like that. But there are people that that God brought them in. They didn't come from a church. They didn't come out of a denomination. They just came out of the world, you know. And then you realize this, even somebody coming from the denomination, you can't expect them to know what you know, because they haven't been under the teachings that you've been under. Because, friends, I want to tell you something. You know, look, the denominations, they have good moral things, some of them, to say, you know. They've got, they bring little lessons and little teachings to try to encourage people. And there's some of them back in the Pentecostals and so forth and things like that, you know, that it's more hallelujahs and glory to God than it actually is any substance coming forth. And so, you know, you've been under the opening of the word, and things that some of you have been in the message for years, and so you have, you know, when somebody says something about the seals or the seventh seal, you know exactly what they're talking about. It's not something foreign to you. But you got new people that come in, and they don't know anything about any of this. And so, you know, there's got to be some patience for them and some guidance given, you know. And, you know, even as the scripture says, about a pastor leaving the 99 and going after the one. And I've said this many times over the years, that doesn't always mean that going out after somebody, you know, somebody said, well, you know, somebody's been out of church a month, the pastor should be going out there and getting them, bringing them back in. That's not always what it's talking about. There are times within a church service that the Lord will come and lay a message on the pastor's heart that's actually meant for one person in the congregation. And so and there are times the pastor knows that. And so he's got to neglect the 99 to preach to that one person on that given service. You know, and that happens. And then you realize you've got young ones, and you've got things that come in like the teachings tonight and on tithing and so forth. And many of you that's been serving the Lord for many, many years and been around for many years in that, and then you say, well, I know all about those things. Well, sometimes those teachings have to be brought back in and back around just to help the younger ones. And Paul says that I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Brother Branham was talking in the message of desperations, and he says that, and Paul mentions this later in this chapter that we're reading about, not wanting to be a castaway. But Brother Branham talks about how that he gets thrown in such a desperation. He talks about his ministry and how that seeing the visions and so forth. And Brother Branham even makes a statement. He says, you know, I get around the people, and Brother Branham says he couldn't always just, he couldn't control when the visions were to come and things like that. And he actually made a statement and said, in a message of desperations, he says, there's sometimes I see things about people I wish I'd never saw. I wish I didn't know. He says, and there's some things I see in visions concerning people that I can't tell them, because if I tell them, it would be discouraging to them. And he says, and so he gets, he's talking about the pressure that he's under in all of this. And he says, and it throws me into such a nervous stage, and what can I do? He says, then he goes to the mountains and places and goes hunting. He says, it's hard because when I'm with the people, I've got to be all things to all men that I might win some to Christ. And so he was talking about, you know, and that's a burden that's actually on the ministry, especially on the pastors, being all things to all men. Because, you know, not, you know, we're all different. And where some folks maybe be weak in some areas, they're stronger in others, and the areas they're strong in, somebody else maybe is weak in. And so the pastor is going to be somebody, and the ministry that Paul's talking about is actually be able to get down on the level with the people. I learned from in my ministry years ago, when I was first ministering, as God would give me something, I would come and I would just hand it out to people exactly the way God gave it to me. And I wouldn't break it down. I wouldn't go into any explanation about it or show them all the connections and ties. I would say it and think, oh, well, then it's just going to hit on all cylinders and they'll get it. And I had to realize that's not the way it happens. That, you know, if God shows me one thing, then this scripture comes to me, and that scripture comes to me, and this scripture comes to me, and this quote, and that quote, and this quote, and that quote. Because that's how God gifted me and how God made me and how God made the ministry. But he didn't make the laity that way. And so that's why he's got the ministry, that God can give those things. And so the ministry can come in and actually break everything down and make it, you know, and show, yes, this scripture goes with this scripture and goes with that scripture. And then Brother Branham said this here, and he said that here, and this over here, and that fits with this, and this fits with that, you know. Because, you know, when perhaps, you know, when a laity member listens to a message of Brother Branham's, then they listen to the message, and that's what they hear. But when a minister listens to that same message, there might be one thing out of that message that'll strike him, and then there's this out of this message you heard, and that out of that message you heard, and this out of that, because it's all woven in through the message, just like the things are woven through the Bible. And we saw that really here in the book of 1 Corinthians, how Paul takes and he'll mention something here in a couple of verses in one of the chapters, and then, you know, but that's not the entirety of it. Then you've got to go to this other book where Paul speaks of it, and this other verse where Paul speaks of it, and this other verse where it's spoken of, and then it's all woven in, and you bring all that in together. Now let's look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Brother Bo was just here on Sunday, and he preached about running the race, so Paul is talking about that here. And you realize Paul was in at some times where he was at in the Greek and Gentile places, you know, they at that time they had their Olympics, their games, and a lot of races and so forth. And so Paul was taking an analogy from this in the natural of running a race and showing it into the spiritual. And he says, you know, they receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. And so he says, you know, that in a race, there's many that run, but there's only, you know, if you're running a race to win it, then there's actually only one winner. I know that in this modern time, you know, of PC and wokeness and all this and that, the other, you know, they don't like that. But anyway, that Paul's saying that, you know, and who is the one that wants? Now, bro, Paul's not saying that there's only going to be one person that's going to make the rapture. But what is he talking about? Who is the one that wins the race? And that's what Paul's talking about. Those who strive to the end. You know, and that's something that Jesus actually said about those who remain unto the end, strive to the end. And, you know, there's a lot of folks, as Brother Bo was bringing out on Sunday, there's a lot of folks, they start out, you know, and as Paul even says, you did run well, what hindered you? And, you know, and they start out as seemingly good or whatever, but over time, and, you know, things begin to drag them down. As Paul says, let us run this race with patience, and set aside every weight that doth so easily beset us. And so, you know, there are those that they come in, and at first, you know, it's like it's something new. It's something new in their life with some folks, you know. And as it's something new, then they're all excited about it. But then as they actually get to the grind of it, then they can't take it. Because we're in a battle. We didn't come to a picnic, as Brother Branham said. This is a battleground. And we're Christian soldiers. And you're in a battle for your life. And we're in a battle with as Paul said, the forces of darkness. And rulers in high places, and so we wrestle not against flesh and blood, you know, but we're wrestling against demonic powers, and you know, and as we've often pointed out, as Brother Branham said, you know, the devil chose the mind as his battleground, and that's where he comes, and many times he attacks you at, and even when the devil, you realize, attacks you in physically. With your health or so on. He don't just stop there. He tries to work on you mentally about that. To, you know, to try to discourage you from having faith to believe for your healing. Paul spoke to Timothy right when it was coming close to time for his death. And he says, it's now time, I'm ready to be offered. My time of departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Again, it's a reference to running a race. And so we want to realize that we want to finish the course. And, you know, and then I was talking about this here just recently with Brother Bo. And we've talked about ministers that started out well, you know, and they were preaching to the people and so on. And then they went out and fell in sin, you know, fell to adultery and different things like that, and fell in sin, and then their life became a shipwreck. And, you know, and they actually become a castaway, many of them. Now, that's not to say they can't get right. Sure, they can get right. I believe anybody can get right with the Lord. You know, but the thing is, there's many ministers that people, brothers that have claimed to be preachers that have went out and fell to sin in the world and that, and they don't ever get right because they lost what they had. And once they lose that, there's no getting it back. You know, you break the trust and confidence of the people, you can't just get that back. You know, the ministry is held to a standard, you know. And and it's not just the ministry. I believe that, you know, a deacon in the church, you know, or someone else, in, you know, holds an office in the church, you know. You know, you can't just act like those things never did happen. There's people that go out and backslide and lay out for 6 months, you know, and then they show back up at church and expect you ought to call them up to sing a special, you know. No, we don't need that. But Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the service tonight. We thank you for this little teaching that you give us out of this chapter here, dear God. And Lord, we look forward to the coming teachings, Father. And Lord, I pray for the service Sunday, Lord. You're dealing with my heart a little on that, Father, that you would, Lord, continue to direct me, Father, for the message to bring to the people, to be a help to the people on Sunday, Father. I pray your blessings on the people as they go to their homes now tonight, Lord, and may you give them the rest in their bodies, God. And for those, Lord, that have to go out on the job tomorrow, may you give them the strength to do it, Lord, and help them, Father. And we ask, God, you'll bring us back here at the appointed time on Sunday for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.